funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Hey, we're an acquired taste podcast, the podcast for people who make extensive grocery lists on Sunday, but still eat toast for dinner every night of the week. I'm Kathleen, and I'm here with my sisters, Bethany.
Hi.
And Sam.
Hello.
And we have the Sunday fun days, which turned into the all week fun day.
That's a thing, right?
Yes. We got a couple of things on the agenda this week. First of all, I know that you guys went to a live podcast this weekend, which we need to touch upon.
Yes.
I'm so excited to hear about Bethany's flirting skills.
Yes.
We have some listener advice. Is it juicy? I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't either. Sam knows it.
Yeah, I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
It's juicy.
It's interesting.
And then we
don't push. We'll get there.
We've been perusing the Facebook fan page, and it seems like everybody's going on a job interview lately.
Ooh.
So would you guys be okay if we interviewed each other?
Yes.
Oh, no. I'm not going to get the job.
They do say that you should practice job interview skills.
Absolutely. And so. I'm not going easy on you guys. So just
good.
Beware.
I have so little confidence in myself right now.
I feel like the Venn diagram intersection between job interview and improv skills is like pretty big. Because you just have to BS your way through a lot of it. Like, what are your biggest faults? I don't know.
Yeah.
How much time do you have?
I know.
Just start listing quantitative numbers. 5% of this and 15% of that, and it equaled XYZ.
Which ex-boyfriend do you want me to answer that on behalf of?
Yeah. What are your biggest faults? I mean, I don't really value myself or my own worth in relationships.
Do you remember the episode of The Office where Kelly was getting interviewed and they kind of dismissed her as not important? And then Gabe goes, okay, I guess we'll keep going. What are your biggest flaws? She goes, I don't have any hole.
Something interesting somebody told me over the weekend. I know someone who was giving an interview last week, and the person didn't get hired because when all of these subsequent people came into the room, the interviewee did not stand up to shake their hand.
Oh dear.
Isn't that crazy? But I mean, but it's like a body communication thing.
It's like a power thing. It shows that you think you're more important.
Right.
Or you're lazy.
Yeah.
I once interviewed for a job that my friend got me. Like, he was significantly older than I was, and so he had friends, you know, in various businesses, and I needed a job. And he was like, oh, you know, young 20-year-old Bethany, I'll get you an interview at this place. And I was so stupid. There are times in my life where I just am blind to common sense. And this was one of them.
Okay.
I went to the job interview. I didn't know what the business was.
Oh, my God.
Didn't bother to look it up.
What?
It just didn't occur to me. Yep. Like, he said it was like this disc company. And it was called like something something CD warehouse. And
I
was like,
I think they're out of business.
Right. And I was like, oh, well, he's, you know, he said that they know who I am, you know, we're friends, and like that they do something with CDs. And so I go into the interview and I'm like charming and lovely. And he was like, so I'm sure you kind of know what we do here. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, what do we do here?
No
way.
That's a high school nightmare.
Yeah. And I was like, you guys burn discs and stuff. Like, I was on your website a little bit. You burn discs. And I absolutely didn't get the job because it didn't occur to me to Google what the job was.
Yikes. Wow.
Maybe know what job you're going for.
Only mate, if you're going to nitpick. Let's start at the ground level. Know what job you are going for.
Maybe you should know what the job is.
I don't know. The door was open, so I just walked in.
My friend said you knew him.
Oh, gosh.
Here I am.
I truly think everything happens for a reason. So you did not have a future in disc burning or whatever it was.
You still don't
just
know, by the
joke
way.
Joke burning.
Sick burn, yo. I still don't know what that job was.
Mm-mm. Fantastic. Let's actually start with a thank you to one of our amazing sponsors, which is someone we are all very excited about. It's called FabFitFun. It is a subscription box that's seasonal, so it is delivered to your house 4 times a year. And what makes them special is they have full-size products for beauty. There's fashion, wellness, fitness for just $49.99 a box. This would make a great gift for someone, but I highly suggest just getting it for yourself.
So, like Sam said, it's not like you're getting these tiny little bottles of something or other. They're giving you full size products. Oh. And a lot of times,
oh, hell yeah,
the total retail of the box is way more than the actual cost of the box. So this fall box, the value is over $275, but you're only paying $49.99. So I got, this is the Skin and Company Blue and Capri Shower Gel, which, by the way, cruelty free.
Sorry, I want to smell it.
Do you guys remember when we had our editorial meeting and I came and I brought that black tote?
Yeah. Which is really cute. It was so cute.
That was in the box. It's a Vince Camuto vegan tote and it was in the box.
So sign up for FabFitFun today to get your Fall Editor's Box. The FabFitFun Fall Editor's Box is a limited supply, and these boxes always sell out. So use our code TASTE to get $10 off of your first box. You do that by going to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting a box for a life well lived. Use promo code TASTE, that's T-A-S-T-E, to get $10 off of your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use the code TASTE to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
I'm making coffee. You can start without me. I'm so sorry. I'm all over the place.
Don't worry about it.
Listen, you're experiencing self-awareness, girl.
I have an Adderall in my purse.
Don't. No. One or the other. No. This is where I draw the line. Adderall or coffee.
I've already climbed my ceiling over the weekend. I don't need. Are we recording?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh, God.
So, we are back. Better than ever. I don't know where we went, but we're back. Let's hit up some listener advice, shall we?
Yeah. Oh, we have to talk about what happened at the dollop.
Oh my God. Yes. So let's do that first.
Bethany and Sam, you guys went to a podcast live event, a live podcast event rather, for the dollop.
Yes.
Which I don't listen to, but I'm hearing really good things about it.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
It is. It's basically one gentleman does research on something that happened in history, but it's not like Washington crossing the Delaware history. It's more like
when cars were first brought to America and people played in the streets.
Yeah, because
like
weird
kids
little
played in the streets.
History stories.
And like kids refused to not play in the streets, so that like people were getting hit by cars left and right.
And the counterpart doesn't really know what the topic is going to be, so he just kind of oohs and ahs, but he's very witty and funny. So it's just like such a natural.
Okay.
It's a nice balance to listen to.
So you had a girl date, but also there was a little bit of stuff behind it because Bethany had been DMing with the lead podcasting guy, or one of the co-hosts, rather.
So I've had like a crush on Gareth for like a year, and he's from Wisconsin too, so like I'm sort of charmed by that.
You're part of the Cheese Curds fan club,
right? So so I had DM'd him and said like, hey, we're gonna be here, you know, will you be available beforehand to say a quick hi, or do you have like extensive vocal warm-ups?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, come say hi, like text DM me when you get there. So that was like, that was the day before.
Yeah. That makes sense. Right? It's like a natural setup to a hangout. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you decided to discuss it here on the podcast where we are known to blow things out of proportion.
Yeah. So
never.
So I DM'd him when we were there, which was like half an hour before the show started. And I didn't hear back. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, sort of kept my phone out. I kept just sort of keeping an eye on it. And I didn't hear back. Mm-hmm. And then the show started. So that was fine. So we didn't get a chance to say hi. And then after the show ended, he DM'd me. It was just like, hey, sorry, there was like drama backstage. Like we couldn't. Sorry, I didn't get to say hi or get back to you. Do you want to come and do like a meet and greet with everybody? And Sam and I had already left at that point. So like there was a lot of just back and forth. Like I would DM him and he wouldn't see it for like 45 minutes. And then he would DM me and I wouldn't see it for like 45 minutes. And finally, we're just like, welp. there it is.
Didn't he give at the very end of the night, like we went out for a cocktail after, and we knew he had a lot of time in between his two shows because it was a double dose show that day.
Yeah.
And Bethany said, we're around the corner. Listen, we're getting a drink if you want to. And then didn't he answer like 7 hours later, like, hey, are you still there?
Yeah, I was I said something like, I think he was like, are you still there? And I said, no, I'm just leaving. And then I heard back from like the next morning, whatever. It was just like bad timing.
I think everything that transpired on Friday night at this event that you guys are at is sort of like a quick summary of exactly why marriages disband.
Why?
Like miscommunication. Yeah. 7 hours later, you want to be together, but you don't want to be together.
So you guys are basically married.
Well, it's also entirely possible that he found out that we talked about him and was mortified and scared of me.
My God, that would be awesome.
That's also very possible that he was like, this woman's psychotic, don't meet
that's
her.
That's not true. No.
I mean, it's possible.
I was holding a sign that said exactly that.
I mean, I don't know how I would have felt if I was like on this big podcast that like someone else was obsessed. I'm not obsessed though. It's not obsession. I'm just like, I have a crush, but like seemed obsessed because she talked about it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's fine. He is back in LA. It didn't happen. It's fine. It's great.
And that's what it is.
So not a problem. It's good for me because look how great I am with interpersonal communication. I would have word vomited and then passed out.
Which is fine.
Which is not a good way to meet
someone.
I mean,
we did go to a bar afterwards. It's not like she's like, hey. I need to be home now. No, you had a fine interactive
You
night.
Had a Friday cocktail, and that's what I call progress.
Yes.
Some hard pretzels. We went to the Tippler.
Oh my God, that dip was so good.
So good.
What is that dip?
It was like a cheese-based dip with like chickpeas or something. It was really good.
Oh, you vegetarians.
I know.
Delightful.
Throw some chicken in there.
So anyway, that was that. Thanks for your thoughts, everyone.
Okay. Well, don't worry. We're gonna find somebody else for you to
scare,
DM,
to terrify with my two big feelings.
I'm accepting applications right now.
Who is it? Someone has a song about their feelings being too big. Or maybe it's, no, Glennon Doyle. In her book, Love Warrior, Glennon Doyle talks about how she, like, was afraid of relationships because her feelings were always too big. And people Aww. Were like, your feelings are too big. And I was like, oh, my feelings are too big.
Now I understand.
But what is life worth living if you can't feel what you're feeling?
I think so.
Or express what you're feeling.
Yeah. I've had a few dead years of feelings, no joke, where I would cry, like, maybe once a year.
Yeah.
And I so prefer this, where I cry if I put, like, if I put my wrong shoe on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me cry now. I so prefer this life.
There's a lot going on.
I saw this video today where a dog got locked out of the house, the little puppy golden retriever, and he rang the doorbell with his paw.
Did he get back in?
And then he got back in.
Oh, thank God.
Isn't that? And I cried.
Why are you so smart?
Puppies are so smart. Anyway.
Woman, let me in.
All right. Hit us with the juicy fruit.
Okay. Sack it to me. All right.
That was a very loud water bottle
noise. I wasn't
ready.
I'm sorry.
Good Lord. Ka-chunk. Ka-chunk.
I overcompensate in a lot with my water bottle.
Wait, can I just pause for a second? Bethany, we didn't ever talk about this on the podcast, but what? You were the voice of God at the Global Citizens Festival this weekend.
Yes, that was so amazing. It was fun.
And it's a festival about, you know, wellness for helping one another, but also there's like an element of environmental protection too, right?
Yeah, it's like they go across sort of all genres of trying to improve the world through various acts.
And then all the artists are on stage drinking out of plastic water bottles. I'm sorry, I just had to put that out there.
It's one of those do what I say, not as I do kind of things. Well, just so everyone knows, Voice of God means Bethany is the one announcing everything that's happening. That's not a title we decided to give.
Oh, quick.
It's the name of the job itself.
Yeah. Will you do a little sample for us?
Yeah.
Can you voice of God Loki's birthday?
Oh my God. Wait, well, I have video.
Please welcome Rachel Brosnahan, Cal Penn, and Robert De Niro.
I love Cal Penn.
Oh, I love Rachel Brosnahan. Yeah.
What's up, De Niro? Not getting any love on that one. Jeez. We love you too.
So it was really fun. And there was obviously some very scary moments that happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just tell people a lot. I got some tweets of people who were rightly very scared and upset with the way some things were handled. Basically, what happened is during the evening, someone stepped on a water bottle and the water bottle popped and it sounded like a gun.
Yeah.
And people were rightly very scared and people were getting trampled and a barricade fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And people were, I guess, not let back in after they evacuated and the show went on. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, because they weren't able to properly scan people. So there's a lot of frustration with how it was handled. I had some people vent to me on Twitter saying, like, everyone associated with it, and they tagged me, were like, you guys handled this really poorly.
Yikes.
I just want to say I was literally in a tiny corner surrounded by black curtains, and all I could see was my microphone unless I peeked my head out and looked at monitors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had a very limited Wi-Fi signal and no internet. So I don't know how or why things were handled the way they were. I do know that it was done trying to keep everyone as safe as possible.
Yeah.
So if you went and you chose not to come back after that happened, I'm really sorry. I hope that it was traumatic for some people.
Yeah. And it's the world that we live in now. Yep. It's when you go to a concert, when you go to a major public event like that, you kind of have to look around and say, okay, if something happens, where am I going first?
Yeah. Yep. All the time. Never ever just go to a group something without at least thinking about that.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
I heard you on the radio. I heard you on TV. And I'm yelling in front of my mother-in-law.
Like, oh my God, we have a friend who's doing something really cool.
That's my friend, Bethany.
I was really honored. It was a big honor to do it. So thank you, Kathy.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Listener advice? Actually, in the interest of not stepping on, I think we should thank our second sponsor for the episode.
So, you know, we're always looking for products to help our skin, as all three of us have problematic skin from time to time. And we found one that is cruelty-free, which we also love, and it's BioClarity.
BioClarity is a three-step skincare routine, and their secret power is Floralux, which is a form of chlorophyll that nourishes the skin. And yes, one of the products does turn your face green. It's very exciting.
No, it doesn't turn your face green.
It does if you put enough on it. No. The thing itself is green.
I like it when it turns my face
not
green.
Not permanently. I didn't use that word.
It washes off when you wash it off.
It turns you into Elphaba from Wicked. So one of the skincare routines is the clear skin routine, and that's for combination skin, oily skin, breakout prone skin. And what it does is it cleanses, it treats, and it restores. But they also have mask options now. So I'm most curious about the hydrating mask, which is also known as the Glow Getter. It gives you that extra pick-me-up look that you need. Plus, they've been doing so well that they've gone beyond your face, and now you can get the rest of your body with them. They have a Sudsy So Fresh So Clean body wash that they're offering. I love a good foam. And this plant...
You're known for that.
I am known for my foam. This plant-packed gentle foaming body wash will help achieve that silkier, smoother skin. And we are approaching the colder months, which means you're going to need to give your skin a little extra nourishing love.
So get started on healthier habits with your skincare. Just go to bioclarity.com and you're going to get 15% off your entire first purchase. Plus, shipping is free when you buy a routine. And it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. But you have to enter our code ACQUIRED. There's a C in it. ACQUIRED. So go to bioclarity.com and enter the code ACQUIRED. ACQUIRED. Okay, so...
Onward.
Listener advice.
Listener advice.
Who's this from? Can we say their name?
What shall we call our advice seeker today?
Do we know what gender they identify with, or should we do
female?
Let's Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yep.
Sure, that's not taken.
We'll call her Ruth.
Ruthie? Can we do Ruthie?
Sure. Yeah. Like Seventh Heaven.
Like to add a little
like
bit of
Seventh Heaven.
A little bit of pep to it. All right, Ruthie writes, "Ladies, I am in desperate need of some advice from three of the most inspiring and amazing women I know."
Well, Oprah's busy.
Yeah.
So is Ava DuVernay.
She puts in parentheses because we're all best friends here, right? Yes. LOL. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the LOL is because yes, we are. "I'm from a tiny town in Oklahoma near Tulsa.
Okay.
Besides my 4 years of college, I've only ever lived there, and I'm 27 now. I've always loved to travel, and I've dreamed of living somewhere else. Well, that opportunity finally came, and I got what seems like a fabulous job halfway across the country."
Yay.
"Yes. My friends and family were sad to see me leave, but were also very excited for me, saying what a great opportunity this was and how perfect it was for me. I got everything settled. I sold my car. I found a place to stay, and I found a permanent place available a month later."
Damn, Ruthie.
Right? Girl's on fire. "So it all seemed to fall into place pretty perfectly. What I didn't account for, however, were my own emotions about permanently leaving my home for the last 27 years. I kept my cool when I hugged my parents goodbye at the airport and throughout my entire journey here. When I got to my Airbnb, I had trouble getting in, and when I finally got in, I just broke down and sobbed. I called my mom and cried to her on the phone for a few hours. I cried about how sad I was that I left the comfort and safety of my home for all this unknown and that I might be already regretting my decision. I've traveled a lot in my life. I've studied overseas for a semester. I interned far away one summer, along with so many other trips. I think the difference is I always knew I was coming back home. I guess my question is, how do you know when you're making the right move in life? It's my first full day here, and I've been struggling to hold back tears at times. I just don't know if I'm so emotional because I miss my comfort zone, or I might have just legitimately made a mistake. Please help. I love you three so much. It's been somewhat of a comfort just knowing I could take the podcast with me no matter where I went. three of you are my best friends. Ruthie, I got to stop you there because I will get emotional and that's not going to help us. Thank you so much.
Ruthie, I'm so proud of you, girl. Yes.
And I think this is something a lot of people go through. Not only when you're graduating from college or high school or whatever, you know, sometimes when you break up with somebody and it's time to get a new place on your own, or when you get a job, when you get a degree in a field where there's no jobs where you live and you have to move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I've moved a couple times super far away from home. Yep. My entire family lives in either Minnesota or Wisconsin, mm-hmm. including the majority of my extended family. Mm-hmm. I think I have one family that lives in California. The rest of them are pretty close to the Midwest. And I moved to Texas, mm-hmm. And then I moved from Texas to New York. It is tough. You definitely have the you stub your toe and burst into tears moments. Mm-hmm. But I would recommend, Ruthie, think about the alternatives. Like, it sounds like you're someone who craves that adventure. You like the idea of doing new things with your life. I think that you would regret not having taken this chance. And I think that there are a lot of people who like, growing up in a city and then staying in that city to raise their own family, mm-hmm. that's what they want to do. I love that. There are also people who want to move. And I think if you're someone who wants to move and you never do, you're going to regret it every year that you don't move. So instead of having 27 years leaving behind, imagine having 40 years that you've left behind. Or now you're moving for the first time at 55 years that you've left one place, right? So it's going to be really tough, but you're doing it and you're going to cry, and then you're going to cry further and further apart. Like, the sections between cries are going to get longer. And my piece of advice for you is, in your new city, find a coffee shop mm-hmm. that you can claim as yours. Go there every day. Learn the art on the walls. Learn the names of the employees. Learn what your favorite chair is, your favorite part of that diner. Mm-hmm.
Create a comfort zone.
Create your little home so that you feel safe there. And then once you feel safe there, find another place down the street that you also love, and then find another place and mm-hmm. build your world so that your safety zone slowly expands a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think you will find that you're really, really proud of yourself for what you've done, because this is not something, not everybody can do this, and you've done it.
And to add what to Bethany just said, all these little places that you start going to more often to call your own, when you're there, ask people what their names are. Mm. Because there's nothing that makes me feel better than walking down the street up to my apartment and you're like, oh, hey, Sarah. Hey, Dom. Oh, hey, Frank. How's it going, Frank? Nice weather today. You know, start to get to know people because then you feel like you're part of a community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to loop to the one word, Bethany, that you said that would trigger me and is so important to me is the word regret. And this can work for so many different people and so many different walks of life, but especially this. My one thing is, I don't want to regret anything. I will make the wrong decision a bunch of times rather than wondering if the decision I'm planning on making is the right one or not. Mm-hmm. So either way, this was the right move, because you're going to have an answer at mm-hmm. the end of this, whether it was right or wrong. And then there will be no question marks. You're not going to have a midlife crisis one day where you're like, what if the regret part's going to be gone?
Yeah.
That's very important. Another one is, this is not... You wrote this email. It sounds like you're still at your first day when you sent this email last week. You are not at your normal. This is not your new normal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This feeling you're feeling is so unusual and special and justified and valid, and you will have a new normal there. It will level out. Mm. So this is not your forever feeling. Don't start panicking, being like, I already made the wrong decision. No, definitely not. But if you did... and this is going to be that tough love thing that kind of sucks to hear. Let's say you made the wrong decision. What is going to prevent you from going back?
Right.
Your home is still there.
Yeah.
Your family is still there.
It's not like Eldoran. Princess Leia can literally never go back.
How upsetting is that?
Her planet exploded. It exploded, you guys.
The whole planet.
The whole planet exploded.
I bet you know what? She would probably write us an email if Star Wars listen to this podcast.
I don't know what this war of stars is you speak of.
Her whole planet exploded.
It was very upsetting.
She literally, that was, I mean, so that
heavy.
Didn't happen.
It was heavy.
Yeah.
But nothing is going to change. You still have your home to come back to. Even the actual worst case scenario, which I don't think it is, isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Like, my cousin moved with her two kids and husband. She lived in Nevada her whole life. And then she moved to Texas, uprooted her family, kids in a new school. They were miserable. 1 year later, they came back.
Yeah. But they tried it and they'll know. Now they know.
They tried it and they had like younger souls to be responsible for.
Yeah.
You are just you. You will make a personal decision in however long that's like, oh, thank God I did this, or this was awful. I did it.
Yep.
Awesome. I figured it out. I'm going back home.
Even my little brother who moved to Hawaii a few years ago, he has since come back because he's in the Navy and he gets moved around. But even when he got to Hawaii, like the number one destination for people to move to on many people's bucket lists, he, in the first month, he was like, what have I done?
Aloha!
Like, what am I doing here? I think on a small scale also, just being by yourself, doing things outside of your comfort zone by yourself, if you don't have the opportunity to move to a new city or get a new apartment and whatnot, going out to dinner by yourself, going to a movie by yourself, going to a concert by yourself, I truly don't think that you know yourself until you mm-hmm. are only responsible for you.
Yep.
And only have to think about your feelings. I mean, not all the time, you know, there's always other people to think about, but from time to time, your daily routine, when thinking only about you, that's when you really get to know the inner you.
Yeah. I agree. My older sister had the rule. She says every woman, especially, should live alone for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is in the Midwest where things are a little bit cheaper. It's very expensive on the East Coast and on the West Coast to live alone. But
I need two more jobs.
Yeah, right. But that's kind of the idea of like, you need to learn to take care of yourself so that you don't have to rely on someone else for the rest of your life to teach you how to do things, to handle problems. Like, you just become really self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a really positive thing. This might crash and burn in 6 months and Ruthie's like, I hate it. But
and
at least
what?
She'll know. Then
big
she'll
deal.
Move on to the next thing.
It's totally fine. Nothing was like, this was not a like Ariel the Little Mermaid, sign your name on the line because it might never go back kind
of
deal.
Right, which was a really bad choice that
it
she made.
It was. She is so lucky that the bird broke that shell necklace and released her voice because it was almost irrevocable.
Right, but even that, when she decided to sacrifice being a mermaid forever to go be with Eric.
For a man, by the way.
That's a really bad choice.
Never.
Someone should have really been like, wait a minute, you have a whole life down here.
Yeah. I wonder.
He's the worst. He couldn't even tell the difference between her and Ursula.
Yeah.
And like,
he had good hair though. Like that got me for a hot second.
He apparently loved you and then forgot about you and went after what's her name, Vanessa, when she turned into like the hot chick.
Yeah,
Ariel just wanted to be where the people are. She wanted to
have
see,
you seen people.
She wanted to see them dancing and laughing.
Ariel,
dummy,
man,
I'll say
that
it
was fresh.
She's dumb. Ariel made a bad choice.
I wonder,
she's a fish. Give her a break.
Not anymore. Now
she
she's
was
a person.
Young. She was only 19.
She was 16, I think.
16.
And she made this stupid life choice when she was 16 to go and be with a hot guy. And I guarantee
honestly,
you, they're divorced by now.
At 16, I would have made the same exact
Listen,
decision.
She
Absolutely.
Was a daughter of Triton. He was miserable to be with.
I don't know where his partner was.
Well, Mama wasn't a part of the picture anymore. That might not have been a choice.
They
you know?
Were like the original Kardashians. They all started with the letter A.
But they were actually talented, so they're not the original Kardashians.
Zendaya is playing Ariel in the new live action version of Ariel.
I hope she makes a better choice.
Gonna be good looking. That is gonna be a good looking Ariel.
Oh yeah, it is.
Where the hell were we?
We're talking about living life on your own. Every woman should live on her. I've never lived on my own.
Mm-hmm. Not yet,
and I don't regret it because I think my life ended up pretty okay. But.
I think you're all right.
That's what we strive for in this podcast. Okay.
When my husband does go on vacation or away on business trips, I savor that time.
You do have a traveling husband, so that's mm-hmm. pretty nice.
I do.
That's fortunate.
I just think about the people who, like, if their partner were to leave them, they wouldn't know how to pay bills, or they wouldn't know how to do laundry,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like if...
Or
if,
how to pay their taxes.
Right. Like there
oh,
are,
I still don't know how to do that.
There are people who, like, jumped from relationship to relationship from living with their parents to straight living with their boyfriend or their girlfriend and then just let everyone do everything for them. Yeah. I know someone like this, and she cannot leave her house with, like, she needs to have her best friend live with her, and she can't do anything without her best friend. And right. it's become like a really problematic relationship.
See, if that's what works for you because it's your choice of happiness and it speaks to your narrative, that's fine. You don't need to live alone, but you should never put yourself in a position where you're like, if I don't have this person, I am so screwed.
Yeah. Like, learn the lessons you need to learn.
Yeah.
Like, have the understanding of how, like, not balancing a checkbook, but, like, you know, balancing your credit, like understanding how much you spend versus how much you're bringing in, learning mm-hmm. how to budget, learning how to pay bills, like knowing your login information for the electric company.
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff.
Ruthie's going through a crazy roller coaster, and she's going to come out of this ride like a full, like, formed
badass. No. Bad choice. Bad choice.
I want to be where the people are.
I don't think either of you are listening to what I'm saying. You're literally interrupting me by singing. She's literally not.
Kiss the girl.
I'm sorry, Bethany.
That's like the worst. The more I think about it, the more I'm just dismayed.
No, if you break down almost every Disney movie,
oh, they're terrible.
Except for the newer ones that have been made, there's so many lessons. You'd be like, oh, sweetie, you love that movie? Good, learn from it. Never do anything you see in it.
I mean, my gosh.
Don't go living with seven strange men. I don't care if they sing well and are really small.
Don't kiss people when they're sleeping unless they give you approval ahead of time.
I know. Where was consent?
There's no consent.
I didn't care for
God,
it.
God, ask.
Just pass.
Just ask.
Anyway.
Ruthie, you're going to be all right.
Wait, what podcast? Do either of you remember what episode we were talking about learning to make friends? Because I think Ruthie should listen back and loop to that, because now is the ideal time to force yourself to sign up for those hobbies you've been curious about.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes ago.
Yeah, it was kind of recent. But when you transplant, it is important, even though you're extra uncomfortable and extremely nervous and wildly busy, that whenever you can, you make time and go do the activities that you enjoy in a group setting, because you will meet people whether you like it or not.
Do you know what I've realized, Sam?
What?
You say the word uncomfortable at least once every episode. And do you know how I know this?
Because it makes you uncomfortable?
No, because you say it differently than anyone else I've ever met.
Really?
Uncomfortable.
I don't like slurring words together, even though I know I do that. And when I would hear uncomfortable, uncomfortable, it used to bother me.
It's so, because I've never heard anyone pronounce it that way, and I only know that you say it every episode because of how you pronounce it. And it's so funny that there's always a reason to say it every episode.
Well, fairness, our podcast is about odd things for people. There are a lot of reasons to be in discomfort.
It's so funny. It's so funny. I wonder how many words, like, each of us says repeated without realizing it.
Does my pronunciation bother you?
No, I just notice it.
Okay, that's
like
fine.
It pings.
Okay.
It does not make me uncomfortable.
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 You sound like a fancy butler when you say it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is really all I aspire to.
I hope that your bed was not uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Is that what butlers do? They ask about your bed in the morning.
I don't know.
I hope that your bed was not uncomfortable.
Your butler is a cat.
Uncomfortable. Speaking of, can we really quickly, where's the good boy?
Hold on.
Loki.
Loki.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, bye, baby boy.
We have a song to sing for you.
Kiss the girl.
Loki. Today is Loki's second birthday.
Yay!
He's 2. I just want to see if he wants to say. Do you want to say anything to the people? Here you go.
No, he looks like a.
Does this mean he's going to start being charitable?
No, he's literally just looking. Okay.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, charitable.
You guys did this because you reminded me I enunciate.
Terrible.
So I just made up a word. Are you in your terrible twos?
So yeah, happy birthday, Loki. He's 2 now.
Aww.
It was a good day.
How old is Minerva?
She's 1.5.
Okay.
Before you guys came, we had a little birthday party. Mm-hmm. There was a candle.
Yeah, there's the remnants of a cat birthday party on the floor. There's cat food and a number 2 candle.
For those of you wondering how to celebrate a cat birthday, because I know people will wonder.
Not with fire.
They don't like fire.
Meow, 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 meow.
I sang happy birthday, and I made each of them a paste of wet cat food and crushed up cat treats.
Oh,
and like sort
nice.
Of put it together.
Sounds
and
delicious.
My God, they loved it.
That was really lovely.
Big day.
I always thought it was a cute idea that when it's one kid's birthday, I mean, honestly, if all the other kids are going to be pissed off about that, probably something's wrong in the bringing ups. But I always thought it was kind of a cool idea in the younger age when they have trouble with logic to be like, birthday gifts for the birthday kid. Oh, and here, you get one thing, Nicholas.
No.
I thought that was cute.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah, I think that's fine.
No.
Always got presents on my brother's birthday.
I think that's fine. Oh, I think that's fine.
You have to learn that sometimes you don't get things.
No, if you're 14, there's a problem. But there's a certain age where, like, normal adult logic doesn't occur to tiny minds.
No.
Yes,
the only reason that cat's got book, because you can't tell a cat.
But and like, you also can't tell a certain aged child.
But you can explain, like, the kid will eventually grow up to understand. Cats will never grow up to understand.
Will eventually being the operative phrase.
A kid needs to learn from day one, unless it's, like, food, clothing, or shelter, that, like, sometimes you don't get stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the occasion where it's the most necessary.
I think
to teach
this
them
is
that.
What leads to problems.
I don't know, Bethany. You tell that to a 3-year-old and see if you come out alive.
I will.
You know that.
Can we just remind everyone that the person who's like, "I'm never having kids," is the one saying how you're going to do it?
That's how we were raised, and I think we turned out pretty well.
No, it's fine. I just know that that works for some other people, and it's working out fine for how they're raising their children.
The treat that you made for your cat sounds like one of my greatest joys in life.
What's that?
When there's just a tiny, tiny little bit of milk at the bottom of the cereal bowl, and then there's only like cereal powder left at the bottom of the bag, and then you pour it in, and it makes a little paste.
Forms a
like,
paste.
Yes. Mash it.
I love a paste.
Yes. Shall I interview you guys?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
So a lot of people on our secret, not so secret Facebook group have job interviews.
Yes. Okay. So Cassandra and Josie, both recently on the Acquired Taste Facebook fan group, have been writing about job interviews. I want to read what Cassandra wrote. I have a job interview on Thursday for a position that I really, really want. I'm not happy at my current position. So for the past few months, I've gone on so many interviews, but they just weren't meant to be. It's a good way of looking at it. I was getting so discouraged, but then I got this email to come in for an interview, and this interview was the answer to all my prayers, and I feel like all those other jobs didn't work out because this is the position for me. I want to blow them out of the water during my interview, and I don't want to give them any doubts. Other than this post, I haven't told any of my friends about this interview as it adds too much pressure, and I would just feel so ashamed if I didn't get it.
Sure.
Yeah. Does anyone have tips to prepare for an important interview?
That's a great question.
Yes, we had some really knowledgeable taste buds who responded in this group to this thread, and they had some great advice.
What's their advice?
I gave you guys. Oh. Do you have it in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. Sam, do you want to go first?
Okay, yes. So Kim says, make sure you have a few questions for them. Even if they're things you could have found out online or it doesn't really matter to you in the long run, I just started a new job and they loved the fact that I asked about their funding due to being a nonprofit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Always, when they were like, do you have any questions for us? The answer should never be no.
Right. Yeah, I think that's smart. And like maybe do a little background info so you have more educated questions to ask. Maybe.
And I don't think it would work against you to have questions prepared on a note card in case you know you get flustered and you can't think of them off the top of your head.
Oh yeah, be prepared.
Yes.
Deidre, her advice is, I'm a really good interviewer and do a lot of interviews myself. I find the best thing is honesty, to be yourself. Show them you're a team player, confident but not overconfident, a self-starter, and always respectful to others' values. It seems simple, but it goes a long way.
I love that. And this comes from Olivia. She said, research. Make sure you go through the department's social media and their website. I like to reference what I found on their pages to my skill set. Like, I noticed on social media you promote X, and I have experience in promoting X campaigns through my previous current position, you know, such and such and such.
Right. That's great.
Love that.
Okay.
And you know what? Especially if you're looking for social media, it may not hurt you to like write sample posts about, you know, similar to what they do.
Also, go through your own social media and clean it up every once in a while.
Yeah. If you're going for a job, stop posting stupid stuff.
Yeah. Get rid of those like we're so drunk pictures. Maybe make sure your email address is something professional and not like BonerBoner69@Hotmail. Like something, you know, like your
boner,
name.
BonerBoner69.
I don't mean to blow up his
Duda,
spot.
Duda. BonerBoner69.
Change your email address.
You can also maybe Google yourself.
Yeah.
Just to see what comes up, because I'm sure people are, you know, that's a thing now.
Yeah.
One fun, my dad got a job, and I always loved this. He said he credits one job he got in the medical field because they asked him a very important question, and he paused, and he responded with, you know what? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
He said he could have made one up. And I imagine, depending on your personality, you're going to want to have an answer. So yeah. you might make something up. But there are people who are there because they are pro BS hunters.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to know, no matter how good of a liar you are, if something is not true or not. So if there's really something you can't muck your way through, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, you know what? I really don't know. But I would find out by blank, blank. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Great. Say you're over your head with that one question.
All right. So I printed out a bunch of creative interview questions from fastcompany.com. So I'm going to give you guys flash interview.
Okay.
Actually, we all have the questions. So we can interview each other if we want.
Okay. One at a time? How does this work?
Quick. You're in an interview for the most important job of your life. And your whole life depends on this. Okay. You ready?
Yes.
How many square feet of pizza is eaten in the U.S. each year?
Wait, what? By me or everyone? They're very close numbers.
Take a gander.
2 million square feet.
Sounds good.
Why?
Do we have the answer?
No, we don't.
Oh, what the?
How would you rate your memory?
Terrible.
I forget.
What inspires you?
Pinterest.
Fear.
What are you known for?
Pinterest.
Fear.
Any advice for your previous boss? You guys are unemployed right now. God.
Sam, pretend you're a CEO. What three concerns about the firm's future keep you up at night?
Having a mole amongst us that
good.
Will leak our, like, the everlasting gobstopper.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring someone who will take from the company financially,
oh, wow.
product or otherwise,
yeah.
And not giving someone a chance due to a textbook reason when really they would have flourished inside the company and done something very good for us.
That's a really good answer, Sam.
Am I the CEO?
You got the job.
I got the job?
Are you more of a hunter or a gatherer?
I'm a hunter.
Hunter-er?
I actually don't know what the right answer to that question is.
Or the right way to say the word.
It depends on the job Hunter. You're going for. Hunter. Kathleen?
Yes.
What is the funniest thing that has happened to you recently?
Oh, I have an intern and her name is Baby, but this is how she spells it. B-A-B-E-E. Isn't that interesting?
That's a good name.
Yeah. I love that. But I feel bad for her because you know everyone reads it. Babe?
or hey, baby.
Okay. I really like this one. Kathleen.
Yes.
If I were to hire you for this job and mm-hmm. I guaranteed you three promises with regard to working here,
mm-hmm.
what would you want those three promises to be?
One, work-life balance.
Mm.
Two, a fair raise or a fair salary to start with and a raise every year. And three, vacation time that I'm not afraid to take.
Oh, wow. Very good answer.
I'm a good interviewer, guys.
I like those answers, but I don't know if I'd hire you on those three things. Those are all really selfish things.
All right, guys.
I don't know.
Quick, if you don't get this job, what's your backup plan? Both of you, go.
My four other interviews I have lined up for the rest of the week because I'm not so dumb where I'm just going to line up one.
I'm going to sell my stuff and live on my friend's couch because my friend is very nice.
Both two good options.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen, who would win in a fight between Spider-Man and Batman?
Definitely Spider-Man because he could throw Batman into a web, but... Yes,
oh,
Spider-Man.
Bethany,
mm-hmm.
quickly.
Yeah.
Can you name three consecutive days without using the word Wednesday, Friday, or Saturday?
What?
Right?
Wednesday?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
You're so much
Sunday,
smarter
Monday,
than
Tuesday.
I just had to like go over each day. Like, no, there's a Wednesday in there. Nope, that's definitely Saturday.
Okay, Sam.
Yes.
A penguin walks through that door right now
wearing
a sombrero.
What?
What does he say and why is he here?
And it's because he knows that I like Mexican food and animals. It's really the best of both worlds.
He knows it.
Come on now. Okay. Who doesn't love a penguin and a sombrero?
Bethany, if you woke up and had 2,000 unread emails and can only answer 300 of them, which ones would you choose to answer?
I would do a keyword search by immediately.
Mm-hmm.
To see which ones were emergencies.
Yeah.
And then I would do a keyword search by my mother because I love my mother. And then I would sort by flags. So if anyone had flagged it as super important, I would get back to those two.
Okay. I like those.
Kathleen.
Yes.
How would you convince someone to do something they didn't want to do?
If you don't do this right now, you're going to die.
Okay. Probably not getting the job on that one question.
Nope. Okay. Now think again.
Yes.
Think again.
Why not? I'll kill you.
No, answer it seriously. How would you get them to do it?
If you do this right now, you get to say that you did something you've never done before today.
That's great.
That's a really good answer.
That's a good answer.
Glass half full, glass half empty type
yep.
deal.
Okay. Yep.
What else we got? Some of these are just fun. These are just icebreakers. I don't know if I would interview people with these, but I would definitely bring them to a dinner party.
Sam, yes. Estimate how many windows are in New York City.
Including car windows?
Yep.
What about people just passing by?
It's not really going to make that big of a difference.
What about windows to your soul?
People who live in New York versus people who travel through New York, we're one of the most populated city when it comes to tourists.
Oh, in terms of cars, I thought you meant like literally people. I thought you were talking about like glasses and like glass.
No, but I like the way you think in return.
How many?
Really, that was just an indulgence in the office. And Bethany, I'm disappointed that you didn't realize that.
I haven't seen all of the episodes. You know this about me.
Would you rather be loved or be hated?
I want people to hate how much they love me.
Or is it loved or feared? Okay, this is for both of you last time, and we'll all answer this.
Okay.
You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be and why?
Funfetti with 7 eyes at the end of it.
Oh, yeah, that fits you. Black.
No, you're not a new... That's not a new addition.
No, wait. But it's not like a black color. Like when you use it, there's no light emitting from the white of the paper underneath the way the crayon does.
So your paint.
It's black. And it would be called black. And that would be my color.
Does it have one of like an accent line of some sort that I don't know how to pronounce somewhere?
Black.
It's like 4 dots over the A.
Hey, can you have me the green and the red and the periwinkle and the black?
I'm going to be, my color is called Uncle Kenny. And it's... It's a version of chartreuse. Sometimes it's sunny, sometimes it's ugly, but you know when it's missing. I just love the color chartreuse.
Kathleen's like, yes, I figured out how to say chartreuse.
We all have an Uncle Kenny, don't we?
Sure, we do.
Oh, so there's a project I'm working on, and I had to, you know, you have the log line of like kind of what it is, like your elevator pitch of like what the show is about.
Okay.
And I used an Uncle Kenny.
Really?
Like comparison.
Did it go over well?
I haven't pitched it yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's there. Well, and I'm proud of it.
Let us know when to silently be on the call. Do you know I have to hear.
Do you know what color ink I used?
Black.
Oh my God. This is going to be so painful.
Color
edit.
Of your soul. Black.
And meanwhile, I'm like, funfetti. Can you pass me that funfetti?
Yeah, pass me the
black.
Bethany's like a dog that's been in the house and is like the dog of the home, and I'm the puppy that they just brought home. And they're like,
like those videos you see. You have like the kitten who's pulling on the basset hound's ears, and the basset hound just wants to sleep.
Hi. Sorry.
Aww.
Our colors can't even be next to each other in the crayon box.
No, ever.
And my color's just over here in the corner telling an off-color joke that nobody laughs at.
Get it? Off-color.
But we know that you're gone when you're gone.
But he's a staple.
Oh, my goodness. Let us know. We would love to hear your tips for interviewing if you have any.
Yes. I have one more serious one, even though that was a fun 7-minute detour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you're answering questions, it's always better to, if you can, answer something that guides the next question. So when I was talking to someone who was giving advice on interviewing for colleges, which I imagine is still the world of interviewing, he said a good interviewee answers the questions well. A great interviewee answers the questions well while guiding the next question.
Can you give an example?
Like if they ask you something about what was one thing you accomplished in your last work, you know, that you were proud of, instead of just answering black and white, oh, I made them a lot of money in a project I did about blank, you leave it kind of on a cliffhanger. Like, oh, I did something well, so I was given the task of being able to create a project, and thankfully at the end of that, I was able to make them even more money, where they were comfortable to eventually give me more responsibility. And they could be like, oh, what was the future responsibility they gave you?
Oh.
Gotcha. Like, give it like an open-ended, where it's a good answer in itself, but also if they're listening and engaged, they could be like, oh, huh, well, what? Yeah. What was that?
Comfortable.
So last night I made dinner. It was delicious and highly profitable. And then you leave them hanging.
I would do it like, so I helped the company make a lot of money and...
You want to know what happens
and
next?
And then I would sit back and cross my arms and smile.
They called me cliffhanger at my last job. Want to know why?
You know...
Because...
I think sometimes people undersell themselves. So if there's something really interesting about you, like you're the knitting club president of the United States, put that on your resume because it shows that you have personality, that you have interests outside of work.
I also read once, and I you know, if you have like a mentor, I would ask them this question, but I read once not to put like on your resume under skills or like technology you know how to use. Don't put Microsoft Word because everyone can make Microsoft Word
fair.
Work and your resume is literally made on Microsoft Word. So it looks like you're padding your resume.
Except for Susan from the art department.
Ugh. Damn, Susan.
I'm not printing your PDFs anymore, Susan. I'm not doing it.
So we should definitely go around and say what we learned this week. But first, we have a word from our final sponsor of this episode.
So you've been listening to us talk about Beachbody On Demand for a while now, but have you gotten your free trial yet? Because you should.
I have a hard time sticking to a routine, except when it comes to Beachbody On Demand. They have a long history of success with me, and I really don't like working out because I don't like working out on other people's terms.
Yeah.
I like working out when I can do it at home. I work out on my own schedule. I can choose workouts as short as 10 minutes, which Beachbody On Demand allows me to do, or sometimes I have more time, so I can do the 35-minute, the 40-minute workouts. It's all up to me. They have a selection of some really amazing programs. There's 700 workouts right now. I'm really into weight training because you build those muscles and you have strong bones for life.
Yep. You go, girl. Lift from the knees.
Yes, lift from the knees indeed. Beachbody On Demand just works for my lifestyle. I don't have to rush home. And I use it most on my Fire Stick. I watch it right from my TV. There's a lot of apps that you can download on all different media platforms that you have.
So clearly it is super easy. You don't have to wait for anything. You can join over the 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. Right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text ACQUIRED to 303030. That's ACQUIRED 303030. You will get full access to the entire platform for free. That means all the workouts, all the nutrition information, and all of the support. Again, just text ACQUIRED to 303030. Who wants to go first?
I have one.
Yes.
Just the one.
I have one.
Okay.
So I learned last week, I had somebody doing my makeup and I was supposed to come with like a base of foundation on. So I did. Apparently he did not like how I did my foundation.
That's charming.
He was a little bitchy. But he did this really cool trick, which I've been doing ever since. He took a piece of tissue.
Like a Kleenex tissue.
Yeah. Kleenex or like a piece of toilet paper.
Okay.
Put it over my face. And then he took like a makeup brush, like a foundation brush, and he sort of blotted the tissue onto my face all the way around.
Oh, how interesting.
And what it did is it just took off that like thin top layer of too much makeup. It also works for like if you put moisturizer on in the morning and then it feels kind of oily.
Yeah.
You can do the same thing. Take a tissue, take a brush, or even just your hands and just sort of tap
so
and pull it off, and helps to kind of buff everything.
Hold the tissue over your face like a veil.
Yeah, so like it doesn't fit over your whole face, obviously. So like I hold the tissue like on my cheek with my left hand, and then I take it with my right hand, I take the makeup brush, and I just sort of like tap, and then move it, dop, and move it.
I just picture you unable to do it without actually saying
dop. That's a very cool trick. Hey, do you mind if I take like a quick boomerang or a video and put it on our socials?
For sure.
Very cool.
Yeah. What about you guys? What'd you learn this week, Samantha?
I learned that if you want advice from someone, definitely ask. You should definitely ask someone for advice. But first thing you got to do is ask yourself, because what the hell is it that whenever we are faced with a personal problem and we think about it, we have all these different answers, but then you know if someone you loved or cared about came to you with literally the same exact dilemma, you'd have a piece of advice.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's probably not what you're telling yourself.
Oh yeah, it's good.
It's just like, it's such an age old like proverb kind of feeling. But really, if you're dealing with a dilemma, write it on a piece of paper in third person and ask your friend, also known as you, what you think you should do. Because for whatever reason, even putting it in that light will help give you a different answer.
Yeah. What would you tell your friend?
It's the weirdest thing.
It's so, you're so right, though.
I can't help myself, but I could help someone else who's the same as myself.
It leads to so many aha moments.
Mm-hmm. It does. And sometimes pisses me off about myself, too.
And if you do it enough, Oprah shows up in your kitchen.
She does.
You
have to wish three times.
So this week has to do with me watching TV. Haha. Surprise, surprise. Something new. I discovered. So you guys, there's this thing on Facebook called Facebook Watch. You may have heard of it. Facebook's trying to do their own sort of television type programming.
Yeah.
I discovered that on your Fire Stick, there's an app for Facebook Watch. So you can just watch Facebook videos. Like I'm a sucker for the dodo. Those are the animal videos.
Yeah.
I like to watch those on repeat. Okay, so Facebook is now starting to put out TV shows.
That's crazy.
And I discovered this one. It's from Elizabeth Olsen. She is the star. And
I
she's like a major actress. She's like would you consider
her
A-list?
So beautiful.
I would consider her underappreciated A-list.
Okay.
Like, I don't think she has the same name recognition, but like she should, because
the
she's
underappreciated
amazing.
List. I like that, Bethany.
So I only discovered her show because I was doing Googling around for my monthly What Are the Olsen Twins Up To Google Fest on a Sunday morning.
It's basically a bookmark.
Yes. Question mark.
And she's the younger sister of the Olsen Twins.
Yeah, she's the younger sister. So her show came up. It's called Sorry For Your Loss. You can only watch it on Facebook Watch. So I found this app on my Fire Stick. I turned it on. Guys, this is the most amazing thing I've seen in a very long time.
What's it about?
It's about a young girl in her late 20s, early 30s, and her husband dies.
Oh, wow.
And so she's a young widow, and it's about how you live life after the one person in your life whom you love the most is gone.
So it's a drama.
It's a drama. There's a lot of feels. There's some funny moments.
Is it a bummer, like This Is Us kind of feels, or is it lighter than that?
No. You know how This Is Us is really like designed to make you cry?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
This feels more real to me than some of those shows designed to make you cry.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
It is. I can't sing enough praises. Figure out how to watch Facebook Watch on your phone or on your computer or on your TV, because this show, I wouldn't be surprised if we see like Golden Globe nominations.
Damn.
This show.
High praise.
It is that good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, all right. So one thing really quick, if you haven't checked out the website in a while, you definitely should, because it got a facelift.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's like stuff on there you want to check out. We've added books that we either have read or we need to read. And by we, I'm talking to myself, and I fully am aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But books that I'm very excited about reading. There's Something for Stress, which we've discussed. And there are some of our top Amazon picks on there as well.
And there's some DIYs. Bethany has a DIY about redoing a chair, and I have a DIY if you've gone apple picking recently.
Yay.
These cute little candle apple holders that you make from real apples, you put them on your table.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Love that. And I'm also there's also going to be the article I wrote about Paul McCartney when I was in my height of obsession, because when we were talking about people we'd have over at dinner, I remembered I published something about
amazing.
Him once.
So you can find our website. It's just acquiredtastepodcast.com.
Yeah, and if you have any suggestions about what you want to see up there, drop us a line, because we are all about making content for you.
Also, we know that a lot of you guys have sent us things to our P.O. box. Rest assured, we have checked it. We have them. We're going to be doing some fun things moving forward. So you'll know that we've received them when this happens, but received them.
There's a giant box of boxes.
Yeah.
We're holding out for a reason. You just wait.
But so thank you. If you're worried that you haven't heard anything from us about having sent something, we got it.
You're the best.
Yes.
So drop us a line. You can follow us on Twitter, Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
And on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. You can also join that super secret group that's a secret and is super that we addressed earlier in the episode.
Yes, Acquired Taste Podcast. The group comes up right away when you search it on Facebook. And Ruthie, thank you so much for your submission to our email address. If you would like to email us, we can be found at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
Just put like advice needed in the subject line so it doesn't get buried, and also make sure you have a sense of humor.
Yeah, please.
Because we don't offer much else.
Or IRS alert. That would get our attention.
Yeah, that'll also work. And
subject line, you've been robbed.
If you like our P.O. Box the information, it's An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Thank you for listening, Taste Buds, and we'll catch you next week.